Told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Still to come, JVT on the NBA. Dallin Cuff, his thoughts on the Final Four. Always love checking in with Dallin, get his thoughts. Former Columbia University basketball player. Daily Wager, stalwart as well.
He's everywhere, man. He's everywhere. Calls games, in studio for games, Daily Wager.
By the way, I'm not going to read tweets, but I just want to read this one here. Because we already had one.
So we get tweet? We get a tweet?
We get tweet. But no, I just want to, because people are, you know, because I made the comment of how does baseball only have five games? And we have people who are so sure of their reason for it. We had one person already say, well, it's an allotment for rain possibilities the first day. I'm like, really? They'd only have five games scheduled after 15? Tom Kay says a major reason in the scheduling of the off day after the opener is the cleaning of the stadium. In many stadiums, the sellout is unusual, and they don't have the staffing to get the stadium ready for the next day. Your thoughts?
I mean, maybe I could get there if you said that's why they're not having day games today.
Right. I agree with that.
Maybe. Yeah. But I don't know, you brought it, we were discussing this off air, you brought it up where it's like, well, they play three game series right in a row. Like,
they play tons of games in a row. It's not juice if you win. Honestly, who did the MLB schedule? 15 games yesterday, everyone gets excited, then five today, but then go to a full slate on Final Four Saturday? Shaking my head. Don't forget, Mike Tomlin still never had a losing season.
Oh,
everybody throws that in at the
end. I saw my first one of those dropped finally, I think it was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Like on NFL Live, they start previewing teams. And so I heard the first one finally. Hey, keep in mind, they were actually going over win totals. I'll give them credit. They were going over win totals. They got the Steelers, and it was the perfect setup for – keep in mind, Mike Tomlin never had a losing season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I forget who dropped it on ESPN. I started. Yeah. I just heard it. I'm over at my desk working. I heard it. And it's just like, it was like a bell ringing in my ear. I'm like, there's number one. Heard number one of the year.
Number one. And they're totally serious about it. And Mike Tomlin still hasn't had a losing season after a Pittsburgh surge late last year. Shout out to the Boston Bruins. We got to get Andy McNeil and Jake Hahn in here for a postseason preview for the NHL playoffs. But the Boston Bruins absolutely just continue to kill it. David Pastrnak with his 53rd goal of the season, 41 seconds into overtime yesterday. Bruins wrapping up the President's Trophy with their franchise record 58th victory, 2-1 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. They did it in 75 games,
yes,
the President's Trophy.
58-12-5.
That's the fourth fewest games needed to clinch the NHL's President's Trophy ever. Obviously, they care much more about the Stanley Cup. Couldn't care less about the President's Trophy, I'm sure. But still, that is quick to get there, to clinch the best record with, you know, six games to go.
How about goal differential? What do you think their goal differential is?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I look at the standings, I can tell you
what it
is.
Dang it, you're looking at the same thing I am.
Yeah, but that is amazing. 118.
Next up, New Jersey Devils and New York Rangers at 52. Right, I'm not missing anybody. Right, plus 52. They are next.
No, I'm just looking. No, the team that they beat yesterday. No, actually, it's eclipsed by the Ducks. So, the Anaheim Ducks are minus 115, and the Bruins are plus 118 for a difference of 233 goals between best and worst.
That's incredible.
So good on the Bruins, and we'll get Andy McNeil and Jay Conn in here to give us our Stanley Cup playoff preview from a betting perspective, of course. And Andy is fiending at the bit.
I got to check in on my two futures. I do have two futures bets.
Do you really?
Yeah. Golden Knights to win the division.
Yeah, no.
No. They're there. Right? Hold on. Unless I'm looking at something wrong. They're at the top right now.
They have a two-point lead
over the Oilers.
Two over the Oilers, three over the Kings.
Oh, man. How many games we got left?
It's
less than NBA, right? Don't they start before the NBA?
We got five or six left, depending on the team.
I got to sweat that. And then I've got a Linus Olmark, the goalie of the Bruins, to win the Vezina. I know you're laughing.
I love that you have these bets. Kelly Bidlin.
He's minus three. Minus 3,000. I got it like 3-1.
All right, tennis bet time. You ready? Let's give our tennis bet of the day.
What you got?
So Miami has been played. The Miami Open has been plagued by rain. So not only have matches gotten delayed, but like matches themselves have had to start and stop and start a lot.
Wait, you're telling me putting a tennis tournament in an outdoor football stadium in South Florida, they're getting rainouts?
It's brutal.
No way.
No way. I got Sorana Kirsteia today in the one remaining ladies semifinal. By the way, for those of us, again, for those who listened to a numbers game last week when Iga Swiatek, world number one, pulled out of the tournament because of a rib injury, and immediately we're like, grab Sabalenka, grab Rybakina. Well, we lost Sabalenka, but Rybakina's in the finals waiting for the winner of this match today because Elena Rybakina is playing outstanding tennis. She got by Jessie Pegula yesterday in straight sets, speaking of a rain delayed on and off match. She was just unbelievable, her mental fortitude in that match. And Rybakina awaits the winner of today's other semi between Sorana Kirsteia, who's Romanian, against Petrik Vidova from the Czech Republic. And I am on Kirsteia. I got her at plus 109 last night. You might not be able to get quite that number now. It's shorter plus money or really short minus money. I would still play it. As long as she's not the favorite, play it. Sorana Kirsteia is the play. Now, this is one of these, and I wonder if you run into this in golf handicapping, Kelly. Because I look at 12-month numbers, 6-month numbers, and I will actually look at 3-month numbers even sometimes. Yep. Surface specific. Sorana Kirsteia is one of these. She's been around forever. She's in her 30s. She's been around forever. She's never really been a great player. But she is the quintessential example of someone in sports who in the short term is completely outperforming any, you know, standard term length numbers you could look at. And if you break her down to her, like her last 10 matches, she is all of a sudden Rybakina, Sabalenka, and not quite Swiatek, but she all of a sudden it spikes in numbers to the point where you're like, this is a completely different player in the short term, and I have to bet her accordingly. I'm not usually swayed by super short-term numbers, but she's beaten Garcia twice. She's beaten Sabalenka. She's beaten, like, huge players, so you have to respect it. That's the play today.
I think it's absolutely something that I look at with golf handicapping. I would say one of the major differences of – not even major, but one of the, like, it's like a slight difference the way that Matt Brown and I do things, especially once we get in season. I look at much smaller sample sizes than he looks at because you're looking, often you're looking for value on that person who doesn't kind of belong there, like you're talking about, spiking at the right time that you can get in on nicer, longer odds on that maybe the book hasn't caught up on or not even caught up on because that's not a fair way to say it because you're right. You're right. Like, you know, eventually this person's coming back.
Even I have had to adjust, right? Like, even mm-hmm. I normally wouldn't pay attention, but it's like at some point when you beat Sabalenka, who could do no wrong, when you beat Vondrousova and Mukova, who are great players of late too, you beat Garcia twice, and we're talking about both in the Sunshine doubles, you do lose to Swiatek badly, even an injured Swiatek in Indian Wells, but that's just Iga. You got to respect it. And Kvitova's a great player who is trying to get back to a Slam 1000 final, but I like the number on Kirsteia today. That's the play. Shall we look at some NFL draft position totals real quick?
Ooh, yeah. We got more and more getting posted every day. I love it, Kevin.
Good on DraftKings. Can I just immediately go to the quarterbacks one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've got thoughts on these.
So total quarterbacks drafted in the first round. The overs 4.5, the unders 4.5. The over 4.5 is plus 550. The unders minus 1,000. So, okay, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, in whatever particular order. I'd hope Stroud's first. Stroud, Young, Levis, Richardson.
Bang.
No arguments from anybody about those four guys going in the first round. Some people might say Levis. I've heard some Levis outliers, but no, they're all going in the first round.
Yep.
You don't think like a Hendon Hooker or like somebody like that's not going to slip in?
I absolutely do.
I would bet this plus 550 right now.
I am betting this as soon as I can here in Vegas.
Yeah, we don't have
this. It'll probably be about 2 months from now. I'm pretty sure the draft
is a month from now. Yeah. The eve of the draft will get this.
Yeah. Yes, I'm with you. I mean, look, there has been – I haven't heard about it as much recently, but Tanner McKee, there's a lot of Tanner McKees at the back end of the draft, kind of earlier in mock drafts. And I think someone's going to – fall in love with Hendon Hooker.
Yes.
Like, Hendon Hooker might be the best quarterback in the draft. But there's reasons why we're not including him in those four other guys because he's 25 years old and coming off major knee injury. Like, that's not ideal. I understand it. But I think, like, there's been guys, I've seen mock drafts where Hendon Hooker's been in the top 10. People think he's that good that teams are going to be okay with, you know, give him a year on the bench, get healthy, and get him out there. So, Gil, if this was available in Vegas, I'd be betting it right now.
So would I. And by the way, this on the heels of our, you know, who might have the worst record in MLB yesterday, which I hope people bet, because I thought that market had a lot of juicy numbers, the 12 to ones on both the Tigers and I think it was the Royals, the 160 to one on the Marlins yesterday that was available for worst record. I mean, some of these markets. So I think over 4.5 quarterbacks at plus 550 is an absolute bet. Be willing to lose a bet. Like, you, that's one of those, if you lose, you're like, I don't care. Plus 550 was worth a shot at that for sure, because these teams go quarterback crazy. Was there another one that jumped out? Wide receivers, maybe?
We'll just talk it through real quick. With the tight ends, I think this is kind of coin flippy right now, because it sounds like that Mayer and Kincaid guy will both go in the first round. But is there a third? I don't really know. It's not one I'd be interested in betting right now. Running backs, right? It looks like Bijan Robinson will definitely be. I mean, he keeps flying up the board. It sounds like he could be early. Do you believe Jahmyr Gibbs will go in the first round?
I can't do two.
I don't know that. Yeah. See, I don't know. Normally I would say that, Gil, but I think Jahmyr Gibbs might be special enough of a talent that someone at the back end of the first round wants him. So I would lean over there. And then wide receivers, I think, is really tricky right now. But it would be over 4.5 or pass for me on that one, too.
Over or pass. In a pass-happy league, it's over or nothing. The running backs one is interesting. It's not as great as the quarterbacks one at 4.5, but the running backs at 1.5, we're just not used to seeing that in recent years.
Right, correct.
So we'll see if both Robinson and Gibbs go. Plus 275 on that one. Good on DraftKings. We'll come back. JVT on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $19. Our experts also get ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta, this year's upcoming Masters betting guide. A tradition unlike any other. Break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. How about Jim Nance? His whole career doing the March Madness Masters double, his little sunshine double, if you will.
Yep.
This is last year doing the Final Four. Last year doing March Madness, yeah. But he'll always do the Masters. Hello, friends. Dr. Bob has texted and tweeted in because he was so rudely cut off by the producer of the show, Kelly Bidlin.
Our clocks.
Yeah. Sorry.
By radio stations.
Let's fix the clocks.
Going to commercial break.
The highlight of that segment was me going, okay, Bob. All righty, Bob. Sure, Bob. We got to go. Bob Stoll, he says, before I was cut off, I wanted to mention for people not to overreact to UConn's 4 dominating wins. Teams that won their Elite Eight game by 15 or more and won the other 3 games by 10 or more, how about that for a subset, are just 1-7 against the spread in the Final Four game, including 0-5 against the spread as favorites. Now, I don't give that trend any value, he says, other than to remind people not to overweight those 4 games.
Okay.
All right. A little cautionary tip. Maybe that's our pro tip. I don't know. From Dr. Bob. By the way, DK just took down the over 4.5 quarterbacks. Did I do that? That's from Double Down 23. Thank you, Double Down 23. He actually quoted us. He goes, didn't I do that? In Gil Zirkle's voice. So the over 4.5 quarterbacks just pulled as we do that. Yeah, we might have done that. Let's talk some NBA. Jonathan Von Tobel is our senior NBA analyst. He's also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, a podcast that he lets Kelly Bidlin co-host multiple times a week. Also available at VSiN.com/podcast. It's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
Good. I think we're past the let's part. I think Kelly's part of the, he's part of the brand now at this point.
I just do it to poke fun at Kelly. Just do it to sort of needle.
I do like the, I've been pushing Kelly on the weekends, Gil, to rock with the sport coat with the t-shirt underneath.
Look
so,
at that.
He's finally at least doing with that foul. Mm-hmm. The foul owl on the prowls or whatever it is.
Owls,
so
baby,
good for him.
Let's go. I'm definitely not wearing the same exact shirt wooden tomorrow.
That's crazy what one semester will do for you, huh?
Yeah.
One class.
Don't sell them short, JBT. One class. On Hitchcock, by the way. On Hitchcock. All right, so while everybody was watching baseball yesterday, the NBA sort of acquiesced and only had two games. The Celtics end up rolling the Bucks by, count them, 41. Now, it was a bad scheduling spot for the Bucks. It was back-to-back. It was 3-4. It was 5-7, if I'm not mistaken. And so they do get rolled as two-point favorites. 140-99, as we mentioned. Thing or not a thing?
I'm pretty sure to be in the camp of not a thing, right? Like you mentioned, we have these scheduling losses, as some people call them in the NBA, and especially having it in a primetime spot, I think it's a drop ball by the association. And it's also Milwaukee, I think, at some point when the writing's on the wall in that game, Gil, going,
yeah.
I mean, even after this game, we're going to have a two-game lead for the one seed in the Eastern Conference. So I think this was more about the situation. The Celtics coming off of a bad loss, wanting to flex their muscles a little bit in a primetime spot, and the Bucks going, hey, you know what? We'll take this one because we're still more than likely going to win this one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and there's five or six games left for everybody. So even as you look at the standings and you look at who's jockeying, if there's more than two games difference at this point, it's not even sort of a relevant thing. Obviously, one team could collapse, one team could go crazy. But generally right now, if you're not within two games, it's not a thing. But there are circumstances where tonight's game, there's a couple that really matter, the biggest of which I think it's probably the T-Wolves-Lakers game. If you look at those teams are entrenched at 8-9 right now in the Western Conference, which means that, you know, they could get themselves out of it to the good if they have a run here late in their last handful of games. Or if you lose tonight, all of a sudden you're teetering one game ahead in the loss column of the likes of the Mavericks or Jazz to not be in the play-in at all. T-Wolves favored by one. I mean, is this as big a game as I'm making it out to be? It's huge, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you're looking at the standings, what it would mean for the Lakers taking a loss. Because remember, too, like we always get wrapped up in like, hey, bottom four, top six. Remember that when you're like a Lakers team that wants to get this win, there's a massive difference between 8-9 as well, right? You get two attempts at getting one win as opposed to needing two wins to get in. So this is a very big game when it comes to the whole entire like play-in picture and playoff picture. And what's interesting for Minnesota coming in is, I mean, I don't know if there's maybe a flu bug going on or something like that, but if you look at the injury report for the Timberwolves today, they've got 6-7 guys listed on the report. Now, Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards are both listed as probable, but multiple guys are listed with an illness and a non-COVID illness and at that. So we don't know what's going on there. They also, this is interesting, they reportedly lost Naz Reid to a broken wrist, according to Shams Charania, but he's on the report listed as questionable, or at least at the last look. And that's a very big loss if he's not going to be able to go going forward here for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I think when you look at this, it's a very big spot, Gil, but there's a lot of noise in terms of availability. But as long as Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards are going to be available and they're at home here against the Los Angeles Lakers, I would tend to lean toward Minnesota. They're playing really well. They're playing very good on the defensive end of the floor. Karl Anthony Towns has fit a lot better coming back from that injury than I thought he was. Naz Reid has been a little bit of a part of that too. But I think the reason why this has kind of just been sitting around all morning is because it's a really crowded injury report for Minnesota. And we've seen a lot this year. Probable guys will miss games at a higher rate than you think. And so you want to have some clarity on both Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns before we get this game going.
Yeah, and it is the tough part about talking about NBA games this early in the morning, you know, because you just don't know. The other big one tonight is the Nuggets and the Suns. And not because the Nuggets are in jeopardy of losing the number one seed or Phoenix is in jeopardy of getting, into the play-in, although there is a mathematical scenario where they could. But they're playing for a home playoff series. They're currently the number four seed. They're 9.5-point favorites here against the Nuggets. So people should know that this is not a full lineup here tonight.
Yeah, it looks like Nikola Jokic. So yesterday he's listed on the injury report with calf tightness. Right. There was thoughts that maybe he was just trolling Joel Embiid because that's exactly the injury that he was listed with when he did not play against the Denver Nuggets, right? Yeah. A couple of nights ago, which would have been funny if he actually played, but he didn't. So
yeah.
I think that maybe there's something here. And look, right now, when you have, as we talked about, right, the Nuggets have a 3-game lead for the number one seed in the Western Conference. They are not playing Memphis. They're playing Phoenix. So they can afford yet again to sit Nikola Jokic if they'd like here, which I think is the plan. And just, hey, there's a small sample size of games we have left. We've got about 5 games left. We can get our magic number if we just rest Nikola Jokic in some of these spots. So I this is what this number's telling us. We don't know what the injury report's going to look like until a little bit later. As you mentioned, it's a back-to-back, so they're not going to submit their injury report for another hour or two. Mm-hmm. But I think this seems like a situation where Denver's fine resting Nikola Jokic and everybody else and getting them ready for the postseason because they're safe. They're pretty safely cemented as the one seed in the Western Conference.
All right, JVT, you know where I'm going next. Contractually obligated to ask you about MVP and the latest movement, What do you think was going to happen? The latest movement is a tick back.
Coach of the year.
Towards Embiid. What is your gut telling you? We saw the Tim Bontem straw poll where Embiid just edges out Jokic. Right now, Embiid's minus 105. Jokic is plus 110. Giannis back to plus 550. What's your gut telling you?
My gut tells me that this is going to be Joel Embiid's award, especially after last night, right? Giannis and the Bucks seem pretty, like, I was painting the scenario with Kelly yesterday. We were talking about this on the Harvard Handicappers podcast, which was if Giannis were to come out and, like, squash Boston, and then they have a game against Philly, and he shows out there that there was a path for Giannis, but they decided to just kind of take last night off. So I think that kind of not eliminates Giannis, but it makes it a little bit harder for him when your sample sizes are getting smaller in terms of games played. If we're right in that Jokic is content in resting yesterday and today, it's going to be more missed games. And I think that the Joel Embiid has been campaigning for this, and he wants this award. He's on an injury report. He's going to play tonight. And you mentioned how volatile this is going to be. Embiid just has to show up on the floor, have an average game tonight, and this thing's going to go up to like minus 150 or whatever it is, because the market's going to be that volatile as we kind of move along. So I would say that my gut would tell me right now, given as what has transpired since the straw poll, at least in terms of the two games we watched yesterday, I think this is Joel Embiid's award to lose, and you can make the argument that minus 105 should probably be a tick higher.
What a brutal assault out of nowhere on Nikola Jokic being a three-time MVP. People just don't want him to be three times in a row. It's crazy.
I get Kelly's hit it right, Gil. Like in that write-up for Bontemps, essentially saying that voters have said that the criteria has changed. Well, he was going for three 2 months ago when 77 of them gave him their first place votes.
Yes.
So what exactly changed over the last couple of months that made them change their criteria? It's ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. Should be interesting. Okay, we've got 30 seconds, and I always ask the NBA guest this question. I'm going to ask it of you again. Who is in the Western Conference Finals right now? If I asked you to predict that.
Okay, let's see. Since it's wild, and I don't think I'll be embarrassed by being wrong, I'll go with the Los Angeles Clippers and the Denver Nuggets. How about that? That's your Western Conference.
You cannot quit the Clippers, can you? You can't.
No,
nope,
I won't. I refuse. Tell me, who are you going to pick, right? Like, that's the
whole
thing.
What did I say?
Like,
Nuggets, Warriors?
Nuggets, Warriors. But
Clippers,
that's equally.
Up there,
yeah. But JVT, you said it. It could be anybody, and you won't get mocked for being wrong. Because it literally, I mean, if it were the Kings and the Nuggets, would you be surprised? Some people would. I would not.
Not at all.
Not at all. Right. Apologies to the Phoenix Suns. Not even mentioned in that, in that last 20 seconds. Thank you, JVT. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at me, JVT. Hardwood Handicappers, the podcast, and, of course, our senior NBA analyst, Dallin Cuff from ESPN and ESPN's Daily Wager on the Final Four next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. Too many to count. But VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. A little update on that quarterback prop. They put it back up on DraftKings after we talked about it. But they put it back up at plus 500, not plus 550, so it moved a little bit.
I mean, at 550, 5-1.
I would say 5-1, still bet it.
I think it's worth a bite, right? At least a small bit right now.
Young, Stroud, Levis, Richardson. You don't think a fifth team's going to roll in there? I do. They go quarterback crazy, and for a reason. You're nothing in this league without a quarterback.
I think at least as of right now, there is a very good chance. Yeah. How it's going to set up, usually how we talk about with these quarterbacks, is that team looking for that team that trades back into round one, and I think that's more likely this year with those four guys going. I think all four of those guys, Levis, Richardson, Young, and Stroud, all going way early in the draft.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know that Dallin Cuff has an opinion on this, but this is how powerful football is. I am going to wing it and ask Dallin Cuff if he has an opinion on how many quarterbacks will get drafted in the first round. He joins us from ESPN, and specifically for our purposes, ESPN's Daily Wager. Your thoughts, sir?
Football runs everything. I'm acutely aware of this. And fellas, no, I do not have a take right now. I'm inundated with Final Four, F1 betting, and of course the majors coming, masters coming up. But I will say this. I'll get locked in before we get to actual draft time because it's a great thing to bet.
I know you will. He threw an F1 betting in there.
Oh, he
just threw that in there.
Rocking an F1 pod. Mm-hmm. I noticed that a couple weeks ago. Yep.
There we go. Let's go, boys.
Get Mikhail and Dallin do a podcast together on it. All right, so it is this just in. Special investigation reveals the Final Four is tomorrow, baby. We are very excited. And we were mentioning just, you know, you become so acclimated to what Florida Atlantic has done over the course of just four games, and it becomes, you become numb to it in the sense like, yeah, they're really good at basketball. But I don't want us to lose this moment, Dallin. This could be North American sports betting history. They were as high as 800-1. I asked you this last week. I'll ask you this again. You said no last week when I asked you. Has your brain toggled over to they could actually win it all? Where are we now on that?
I guess I'm still at no, fellas. It's not even just about them. I struggle to see how either one, if UConn wins, I shouldn't say this. Okay, there's a path, obviously. If UConn wins on the other side, I can't see UConn losing to whether it's San Diego State or FAU. I just think they have too many answers, too much versatility, too much talent, and can impose their will on the game in different ways on both ends of the floor to lose to either one of those teams. That said, if Miami beats them, which Miami I can, we can get a second. That's a different proposition. I don't think Miami is as imposing. I think there's different things and ways to beat them. So yes, I guess there has to be a play. Yeah, they can do it. I just talked myself into it. I'm not betting it.
So you're I'm saying not betting
it, but
chance.
Clearly they can do it. Yeah. Well, clearly there's a chance. There's only two more games and they've won 35 already this year. So I'm not betting it, but yes, there is a chance. I do like them to win this game though. I have them on the money line over San Diego State. So I guess as I say it, if I have them in the final, 40 minutes, yeah, there's a chance.
Yeah, if you got them winning this one. So you do feel strongly about them beating San Diego State. Let's start there.
Yeah, I think the reason I feel good about this is San Diego State's physicality is real. Their defense is legit. But bear in mind, FAU just beat Tennessee two games ago, who plays a very similar style in terms of physicality of the defense side of the ball, the pace of the game, how they want to grind you. And they were successful in managing that. So they seeing that on a high major level and being able to play through it was a good proof point. San Diego State, I think, has, let's say they're very limited offensively. I just like Florida Atlantic's ability to spread the floor, make more shots, more guys that can hurt you offensively, and be able to play in a slow game and be okay with that. The offensive glass for both teams will be huge. Both these teams won their Elite Eight games by punishing their opponent in the last 10 minutes on the offensive glass. So if FAU can clean that thing up and maybe play ahead of their defense a bit, I think that helps. I like the value now. I think in some books it's plus 130. So that number, obviously I'm going against where the money's coming in, but I like the Florida Atlantic is, I like the value of that game. And I think it will be a very tight game. So if you don't want the money line, the points are good because the way that San Diego State plays, I can't see this being much more than a two possession game. So you might be right there.
Yeah. And the total speaks to that to some degree, right? At 131.5. And then the nightcap, UConn, you already professed your love for them. Do you lay the points here though, against Miami?
I don't. I mean, because I like them a lot, and I don't think I love them as much as everybody else. I think everybody else thinks. Yeah, I think my thing is I really like Miami, and I've ridden Miami this entire tournament and all year. I had a futures play on them at plus 330 back in, I think it was January, that bet down to win the ACC. They got me there. They've won every one of these games. Drake was the only time they were the favorite. They came back and covered that, and then I took them on the money line, and in each game I took the points against Houston. And I think you're going to take the points here in this game. I think UConn wins it, but I think Miami is unique, as we said this to you before. Three guys on the floor at all points in time can go get you a bucket or get a teammate a bucket. Sometimes they have four guys on the floor that can do that. Norshad Omir is critical. He cannot get in foul trouble battling Adama Sanogo and Donovan Clingan because they got 10 fouls and two dudes. They got just him. He's the only guy to have that interior presence, the rebound to bang physically with Sanogo and defend and then challenge him on the other side of the floor too. So his presence is critical, but I still love Miami's guards, their ability to space you out and play. And at times, it's just one-on-one, and they can go get a bucket. And even talking to Dan Hurley, he's like, hey, yeah, that's hard to scout because we can do everything we want to schematically, but sometimes it's a good player making a good play. And they do that a lot, and they make a lot of tough shots. So I like Miami's chances to keep this thing close. Give me the 5.5, but I think UConn moves on. It will be a very fun game, guys, because that game, both these teams want to play at pace, can play up and down, can play in a half-court game, can score in multiple ways. So I think that game is just going to be way more aesthetically pleasing, let's say, than the other one.
You know, I do this thing, Dallin, since you bring up Dan Hurley, it triggers it in my brain. I do this thing every year where I do a college basketball championship formula. It's six criteria. it's like been tried and true for 20, 25, 30 years, depending on which part of those six criteria. UConn is the only one that comes close to meeting it this year. The only exception for them would be Dan Hurley has not coached a team into the Sweet 16 prior to this year. The other three teams, though, I mean, goodness, San Diego State, 75th in adjusted offense at KenPom. Miami, 104th in adjusted defense at KenPom. Like, they're not even close. And so this is just an amazing year by any, you know, through any lens, let alone my little formula. Do you, when you look at it from a macro perspective, do you like this for college basketball over the blue blood scenario?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm in Houston right now, and the blue bloods bring a different vibe. They bring their fan base's plan earlier in the year that they know that's where the Final Four is, and if they get there, they will be there. So I haven't seen that many Miami jerseys or Florida Atlantic gear. We'll see. And obviously, the games are now tomorrow. As we get closer, more people fly in. The vibe is, and Houston's a spread out city. So I don't know if it's great for the game in terms of the event itself here or the TV ratings. It is good for the players and for the Cinderella notion of it. Although none of these teams are Cinderellas in my mind, it's including Florida Atlantic. Again, they won 31 games before the tournament started. They are not a Cinderella. They're a very, very good team from a conference that doesn't traditionally send a team here. That said, I do think year in or year out now, we're going to see that we've seen the democratization of talent. We're going to see more guys spread out, NIL, transfer portal, even the COVID years, keeping teams older. I think you see more good teams across the country. Maybe we will see less separation between the big boys. But bear in mind, last year was a very similar year, and we ended up with a Final Four, all blue bloods, an 8-seed Carolina, Duke, Villanova, Kansas, all 2 or 1 seeds. We ended up with a huge, you know, all the blue bloods you could imagine in a Final Four. This year, it's not the case, but the very similar regular season played out. The difference is it's the one-and-done nature of this tournament. You just never know what you're going to get. It's called March Madness for a reason. So that chaos, I think, will always be here in the tournament. The question is, I think the consistency we're going to see going forward is the parity within the regular season. Does that speak to the growth of college basketball? I don't know. We'll have to see. I really think how they schedule things, building events. There's some big picture college basketball things that need to be solved and thought about by people who lead the sport. But I don't think they're thinking about it. It's being boiled down to a 3 or 4 week sport. And they've almost resigned themselves to that instead of saying, what can we do differently to change that and grow the sport more broadly?
It's a great point, because I do think most American sports fans take it in as a 3 to 4 week sport. I think you're right about that. I leave you with this. We have a minute left. As you look to next season, and this is somewhat unfair because we obviously don't know the makeup entirely of some teams and at all for others, quite frankly. But what teams sort of set up nicely for next season, which you think might be a little bit under the radar?
I can't answer that question, because every coach I talk to right now, I've talked to 40 coaches in the last 3 days. None of them know their roster. Not like literally none of them. They're all either re-recruiting their current players, or the portal opened the day the tournament opened. The day after Selection Sunday, the portal was open. So these guys are telling me, instead of some guys preparing for their next game in the tournament, they're in the portal. Brian Dutcher made a recruiting call yesterday. Like, that's insane to me, but that's where we're at right now, because that's the deal. So I cannot answer that question, because they don't know the answers to that question. Like, that, this is another one of those huge problems with the game, how the portal works, when it's open, how guys are in it. I mean, there's 1,000 kids in it the week we were leading up to the start of the NCAA tournament. That's almost a quarter of college scholarship athletes. I mean, basketball athletes. That's like, the whole thing's wild, man. So, yes, it's an impossible question to answer, because I don't know who's on anybody's team.
The same plagues college football. Not only do you have to recruit other players, you have to recruit your own players now, right? Like, it's just a massive issue.
Exactly.
Dallin, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the Final Four.
Anytime, guys. Be well.
Dallin Cuff, everybody, from ESPN. In ESPN's Daily Wager, where he gives his betting thoughts on a daily basis as well. Well, whenever he's on.
Check out his new F1 betting podcast.
Yes. The man loves himself some F1 betting. I love that. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Got a lot more to get to. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points. You can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points. You can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligible eligibility. Restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Chris Hitchcock. He said, I need the clip of that MVP convo you had with JVT just now. Need to share it with my fellow Nuggets fans here in Denver. Very interesting. Meaning, I'm guessing that his Nuggets fan friends think that it's a lock that Jokic will win it, and it's probably not a lock at all for very, I would characterize it as, baseless reasons.
Yeah. I mean, the Tim Bontemps article, I would suggest everybody goes and reads that with the straw poll from yesterday. But that line that we kept referencing, that there was, he heard from multiple voters that for them to vote him number one and put him in the same company as the guys that have won three consecutive MVPs, that weighed on their brains.
Which your boy has been saying for months.
Yep.
Or at least weeks.
So, like, they are essentially, those voters at least, I'm not going to say it's all voters, but those voters that at least told Tim Bontemps that means that they are judging these three guys at different sets of criteria.
Which is ridiculous.
Yes.
Timmy Goodtimes, just reporting it. Bill Jacoby, foul owl is still a thing at FAU. My son graduated from there a few years ago, and I was called a foul owl many times while on visits wearing my Miami Hurricanes gear. I felt violated. LOL. Well,
FAU, beautiful place. Dusty May just signed an extension.
Yes, he did.
This Final Four appearance, we talk about how this changes schools. The school's already changed. As of today, him signing a long-term extension to stay at the school, it's going to include money to build, to upgrade the facilities. And if anybody that's been there, it's like a high school gym that they play in. So this will be life-changing, university life-changing for that school.
I like a girl with extensions in her hair. Good on him. Del Boca Vista. Good on FAU. Matt Norlander reporting that. Buddhist man going through our last few seconds with Bob doing the play-by-play on that. This is from Garrett Gibson, who says, Dallin may have just got me there on FAU. Where do you stand on that game, Gil? Well, thank you for asking.
Boom.
I thought you'd never ask. I like FAU, man. I do. I believe this team is absolutely legit. There isn't. They appear, it doesn't matter what type of game they play. They appear, the moment is never too big for them. And I really believe that San Diego State, while fabulous on defense, fourth nationally adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom, I seriously believe that the offensive deficiency is going to rear its head here. And, you know, good on Dusty May for the contract extension, but the main thing are the players on the court.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, Jonell Davis to me is the best player on the court in this game.
Yeah,
and
this one's tough for me, Gil, just because I've bet both of these teams, I think, every round.
Yeah.
I've bet them in so far. So I'm going to be on FAU. I think the one stat, I believe Bob brought it up, but I think it's a very important one, is look at their three-point shooting throughout the season and look what they've done in the tournament. They're beating these teams. They're not even shooting the three ball that well. So, like, that's a big thing.
Well, the turnovers is what they have to overcome.
Yeah.
The turnovers have been a disaster. 22 turnovers in their Elite Eight win, it should be pointed out. They got to do better on that. But they've had a series of games now in the postseason where the turnovers have been a problem. So if they ever get that sort of taken care of, goodness. I mean, it was 22. So here are their turnovers in this tournament. Oh, no, not 22. Pardon me. 22. 12, 11, 8, and 11 in their previous games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, you clean that up. Goodness. The other game, I actually like Miami with the points. I have not bet that one pre-flop, and I doubt I will. I'll probably wait for a moment in game, to play that. But I've said it again, I'll say it, you know, I don't want to be a broken record, but those Miami kids, and especially led by Jim Larrañaga, who, let it be said again, has brought George Mason in Miami to the Final Four.
Yep.
And there's going to be people who listen to that, by the way, who say, well, I get it, Gil. George Mason, that's the most incredible story ever. But, like, Miami's Miami. No, no, no. You have to understand. Like, if you spent any time in Miami, this program ain't the football program.
No.
I went to a Miami basketball game when I was young. Al Horford's dad, I'm dating myself, Tito Horford, played for Miami against Georgetown. They played at the James Knight Center in Miami. There's like, it was like 2,000 people, and it's an auditorium. There are no seats on one side.
Oh, wow.
That is the depths from which this program has come to reach a Final Four. Like, it is a non-existent thing in Miami for many, many years.
And the only thing I'll add on to that is I think there's even a misperception of the football program these days, where this is not right. your early 2000s Miami football program. Like, this is what is often said about Miami sports is very true. That there are other things to do in Miami, yep. and sometimes the sports, both collegiate and pro,
it's the Bay Area
kind
and
of get
LA
pushed
too,
to the side.
Right?
And the University of Miami, absolutely. So I'm with you. With the fact that the basketball team is here, this would be a much bigger deal for South Florida if somehow FAU wasn't in the same position.
Right. They played in an auditorium where there aren't seats on one side. Like, that is literally going to a Georgetown-Miami game years ago. So, yeah, I think they are sneaky good, and I'm looking for an opportunity to bet that in-game. So those are the basketball thoughts for the Final Four tomorrow. I have Kristea in tennis. If you missed the tennis pick today, Sorana Kristea in the one remaining women's semi that exists. That is today, one remaining because of weather. Sorana Kristea, I got it plus 109. Bet her anywhere up to the point where she is a dog in this against Petra Kvitova. The winner of that will take on our futures play of Elena Rybakina, who I hope everybody got on this show this week. When Iga pulled out, we said Sabalenka and Rybakina. Rybakina's already in the final, so that would be a 6-1 cash for those of us who betted at that moment and bet it multiple times. I did not bet Virginia Tech, which was given out by Dan Omataya to win the women's college basketball tournament. But for those who did and got Virginia Tech as high as 100-1, that's in play this weekend as well if you listen to a numbers game. Obviously, that semifinal takes place on Sunday, where Virginia Tech is a slight favorite to LSU, slight underdog, pardon me, against LSU, the winner of which plays the winner of the South Carolina Iowa game. South Carolina going for an undefeated season and a back-to-back title. They're going to be a huge favorite, not only against Iowa, but whoever they play, even if it's Virginia Tech in the final. So I didn't end up betting Virginia Tech, did you?
No, I didn't. But by the way, we're talking about baseball screwing this up.
Yeah.
How smart is women's college basketball? They looked at schedules. Like Friday night, there's not anything big going on tonight.
They're locked into this day after the men's thing, and they don't sway from that. So whenever the men are doing Final Four, they're the next day. Championship, the next
day.
Well,
they're skipped ahead this round, right? Isn't it Final Four tonight?
Is it Final Four tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or am I crazy?
Maybe. You might be right. Maybe I messed up because it was always the day after.
Yeah,
right?
Final Four.
So Final Four is tonight. Okay, pardon me. So for those who have Virginia Tech, good on you. That should be fun to get through. I mean, there's a lot of bets, but those who had North Texas, that cash to win the NIT. So we've had a lot of great picks on this show here just in the last week or two alone. By the way, here's our tourney championship draft.
I forgot
all about this.
Yeah, right?
So Kelly and I did a draft, and
You're the only one still alive.
I got UConn.
That was my question, was basically if one of us had UConn. I assumed we did.
I do. But now if UConn doesn't win it, we're both losers.
Correct.
So it doesn't matter. That I got further.
What a list this is! Like how many of these teams went down in the first round?
Yours are worse than mine.
Yeah,
Marquette is in there and Duke, but still, I mean, this has been the wackiest. I mean, you can't really say wackiest because all these tournaments are out of control. But in terms of who got to the Final Four, absolutely the wackiest
as a
group. So I hope, and good luck. And then there's baseball, right? Which I'll recommend it again. Bet the derivative markets like first innings. If you're thinking of betting nose in those primarily, just trust me on this. You're probably doing it a little wrong. Your instinct ought to be to bet yeses long term. Yes, one day you could lose on either of those. But remember, those are 15 games out of, 2,440, if my math is correct, in terms of Major League Baseball games. So, it's a long season. It just started. Don't read into one day's results on all that. Baseball, basketball, tennis, Good luck to all. College basketball in terms of the women's side as well. All the bets given out on this show. Good luck to everybody. I hope everybody's a winner. We're not pitting against each other. Everybody can win. Let's do it. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.